Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, on May 4th. May the 4th be with you, 2016. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show, Redondo Beach, More to See, is brought to you by the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce and Visitors Bureau. For over 108 years, the Redondo Beach Chamber has played a vital role in helping companies grow their business by taking the lead in programs and efforts that help create a strong local economy and make the community a great place to do business. The Chamber is committed to promoting the community through its aggressive tourism program and by participating in efforts that improve the quality of life in Redondo Beach. In addition, the Chamber represents the interests of business by working year-round to ensure local elected officials and other decision-makers are educated on the impact their actions have on the local economy. Networking programs provide opportunities for members to sell their products and services to peers and make lifelong connections. The Redondo Chamber is also the proud sponsor of signature events in Redondo Beach, such as the Redondo Beach Lobster Festival and Super Bowl Sunday 10K. For additional information on how the Redondo Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Redondo Beach, visit the website at visitredondo.com.
All right, and you can find out all about our mini adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and what we talk about here is persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. And of course, I'm not alone because of our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com. And producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra, but actually, she's not here today. But we have a great co-host with us today, Joanne Galen, an insurance specialist with Fenton Sanger State Farm Insurance and Financial Services, and also the co-founder of Mixagogo, and she also does business development for Zippy Shell. Welcome to the program, Joanne.
Hi, Joe. It's great to be here.
Thank you. It's wonderful to have you as a guest host. And, boy, you are doing a lot as co-founder of Mixagogo. That keeps you busy, I'll bet.
Oh, yeah. It's been we've been around 2 years now, and we're a networking website that lists the upcoming networking and community events all through the South Bay.
Right, right.
And it's wonderful. It's interactive. So anybody that has an event to promote, they could go on the website and add it for free.
Right, right. This is sort of the next evolution of networking locally, and this is really a great concept.
Well, thank you. It's so much fun. It's my passion.
Yeah.
And through Mixagogo, I meet so many people for my business, for State Farm and for Zippy Shell.
Right, right. And Zippy Shell, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, Zippy Shell, it's a storage and moving company, and some very good friends of mine are the owners of the franchise out here in the South Bay. And similar to a pod where we'll go to your home, and we could either leave the truck for a few days and you could load it, or we load it for you and take it to either a storage facility or move you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful owners, good friends of mine, really like them a lot. One of the co-owners is also co-owner of The Hangar, a sports bar in Manhattan Beach.
Mm-hmm.
So I love the connecting of everybody.
I love that, this concept of portable storage. It's very big now, isn't it?
It sure is.
Right.
I'm really happy to be a part of it. And it goes hand in hand with my insurance. I wrote homeowners insurance, and so it goes hand in hand. Hand in hand with that.
Right. Well, you know, Joanne, there's as any business owner who has really has experience knows that they need a few professionals in their lives, a good attorney, a good insurance professional, and a good accountant. I always talk about those three keys to business. But, you know, here in the South Bay, the topic of conversation often turns to real estate. I mean, let's face it, it's a huge part of all of our lives here in the South Bay, whether you own real estate or whether you're renting. The state of the real estate marketplace is a big deal.
Absolutely.
And it would be great if we had an expert that we could talk to about it, wouldn't it, Joanne?
It would be fantastic, Joanne.
Joanne, who's our guest today?
Well, today our guest is David Kissinger, a local real estate professional. David is a real estate lobbyist, web developer, and professional writer in the greater Los Angeles area. He is the Director of Government Affairs for the South Bay Association of Realtors in Torrance. In this capacity, he represents over 4,000 realtors in the South Bay and works closely with the California Association of Realtors and the National Association of Realtors, the nation's largest nonpartisan trade association with over 1 million members, in order to help realtors all over the U.S. help their clients buy or sell a home. This morning, we'll be discussing the always hot local real estate market, one of our favorite subjects.
Yes.
Welcome back to the program, David. We're so glad you'll be joining us.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. Well, I think, you know, it's true without question that one of the things that you end up talking about after talking about the fantastic weather and all of the wonderful restaurants and everything else that's fantastic about living in the South Bay, you end up talking about real estate. So let's start with what's going on in real estate. What's the state of the market today, David?
I suppose the first thing I'm going to talk about is what you were just talking about a minute ago, like one of those outdoor storage things. I got so much stuff in my garage, I just don't know what to do with it. You know, but in all honesty, I mean, that does say something, you know, because we want a place for ourselves and for our families. You know, my fiance and I are raising two girls in Long Beach, and I work in the South Bay, and I'm a Southern California native, born and raised. And so this is really important for all of us, and it's an exciting field. It gets busy, it gets stressful at times. If you like, I'm sure we can get into the lower points of our market way back in 2006 and 2008, and kind of what we've done, what my profession has done. I believe that everyone has responsibility and a role to play in the recovery from that, and I think that we all should take ownership of it, which from kind of where I stand is something we've been very interested in doing and be very on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you want to get into that or maybe start with the larger sense, what's going on in the market right now, or how are things happening in the real estate market right now in the South Bay?
Well, I mean, I've heard from several different sources that the economy is going really, really well now. I think lots and lots of businesses are at max capacity and are starting to hire people because they're being forced to, even though there's lots of grumbling about, you know, higher costs of labor, higher minimum wages and all that. You know, businesses don't like the concept of a higher minimum wage, potentially $15 an hour, but they're forced to hire people because there's so much going on right now. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that relates to the real estate market?
Yeah, sure. So we're blessed here in the South Bay. I mean, you know, the weather is fantastic. I'm looking out the window and I see these sort of gray clouds, you know, but this June gloom or May gloom, or, you know, we're getting there. But really, the weather is great here. You know, the winter is 74 degrees, the summer is 76 degrees, and it's really easy to do. Los Angeles has some of the best world-class universities and research institutions that exist. We are squeezed between two of the nation's largest economic drivers, which is Los Angeles Airport and the combined ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. I mean, those just right there bring billions of dollars that just pour through our economy. There is a lot of need for a very stable, educated class of workers and families, and you know, homeowners and people who are renting and people who are contributing and being a part of this economy. There's just a whole lot going for us here. It's kind of a side note. You remember back in the downturn, we did suffer here in the South Bay, but it was nothing like some of other areas or some stories. I'm thinking of the Inland Empire. Those devastating and heartbreaking stories. You know, in my own view, maybe it was built up too fast. It was built up with lots of without a lot of amenities. It was built up without a lot of access to a lot of job centers, and so I understand that a lot of people would have to commute way into L.A., and I've heard of stories where people had one and a half hour, 2 hour commutes each way.
Mm-hmm.
When the bottom fell out of the market, you know, some people got stuck. Maybe they were stuck. They were laid off their job. Maybe they were underwater in the home, so they couldn't refinance. They couldn't they couldn't sell, you know, they couldn't do any of these sort of things. And there are some people that I've heard stories, they would back up a truck in the middle of the night, load their stuff on the truck and leave the keys on the counter and disappear. Mm-hmm. That is a heartbreaking thing for all sorts of reasons. And it's something that no one wants to have. I don't know to the extent that happened in the South Bay, but certainly we were protected in many ways. Other areas were not because of some of these other amenities we have, like the airport, like the port, like downtown, the west side, you know, Torrance. There's so many job centers around here that I think it kind of buffered things. You know, educational institutions, all the universities around here, I think that really helped things a lot and made it a lot easier for us to kind of get through that down period. We did have quite a huge number of short sales. Short sale, of course, is when, you know, you try to sell. If you want to sell your home but you're underwater, you can sell it for what the market will pay. But if your mortgage is greater, then what you do is you effectively ask the bank to forgive, or you know, basically forgive that part of the mortgage debt that is outstanding there. It's not the best transaction. It's a difficult thing. It's a difficult emotional decision. It is better than foreclosure, and it is better than losing your home. I mean, when you're on the way to foreclosure, there's a lot of stops along the way where someone can help you. And so we've been saying, if you're in trouble, ask someone for help. You know, don't just sit and squeeze your eyes shut and hope for the best. You know, ask someone for help along the way, starting with your lender. There are legal aid organizations, you know, the minister at your church or something like that. Or if you're working with a real estate agent, they can refer you to people that ask for help, and someone will find a way to help you and get you to where you need to go, so you don't have to go all the way down the long road into foreclosure.
Right.
That was rampant elsewhere, and it happened here, but not nearly as much. And so, it is certainly a blessing for us.
No, that's certainly true. But this market today is a completely different market. What do you see going forward? Do you see any specific real estate effects of the election coming up in November?
Well, the election coming up in November, I wish I had my crystal ball, and I don't. I may have to think about that for a minute. But the first part of your question, the market now, it's a little unusual. It is different than what it was before.
Yeah.
You're correct that the economy is stronger. It feels stronger. Overall, you know, there is just the demand is up. In fact, demand for housing is quite a bit up. There is far more buyers out there in the South Bay market today than I think there are sellers.
Mm-hmm.
We see that because we've been noticing that our inventory is down.
Mm-hmm.
Inventory in this case just means how many houses are for sale. And we count houses, single-family homes. We also count condominiums and townhomes. It's on a generic basis. We've been reporting that on a monthly basis for years now. And we've been noticing that, the inventory levels are historical levels. So right now, for the last couple of years, almost every quarter for the last 2 years or so, we've had barely 6 weeks of supply on market. What that means, when you say that, that means month supply in market, and so now it's month and a half, so about 2 weeks. That means that if there are no new listings that come on the market for sale, then that means at the rate of which the houses are selling today,
mm-hmm.
the entire inventory of homes for sale will be gone in 6 weeks.
Wow.
So it's a measurement of velocity, right? It's how fast are things selling.
Right.
It's not quite the same as the number of homes for sale,
mm-hmm.
which is also another measurement of inventory. It's also low. You know, it just, it's down. It's we're down by double digits. And so I think what this means is that there's a lot of sellers out there that maybe they're sitting on the fence. That's a kind of a favorite word that real estate agents like to say. They're like, well, you know, I'm going to sell. I kind of need to sell. I don't know. Should I do it? Should I not do it? Should I get in the market? Should I not? You know, what about Donald Trump? What about Hillary? Oh, my gosh. What about interest rates? And those actually concern people, as they should. You know, what do I do? Should I get it now? Should I get it next summer? Should I get it after Christmas? What do you do?
And there's been articles in various news outlets about is maybe it's time to rent for a while. And do you find that's true, that some of the buyers out there are thinking maybe it's time to rent and keep your powder dry?
Well, the answer is it depends. That's the economist's favorite answer. I'm not a economist, but I'm happy to pretend to be one. So the answer is it depends. And what I also tell people is that, yes, there are concerns about, you know, the presidential election and interest rates and, you know, a trade war with China. And, you know, I mean, the economy, those that will always be there. There will always be concerns. One concern will blow away and another number of concerns will come in. Mm-hmm. What you want to do is, if you're going to work with an agent, of course, I'm with the Association of Realtors, and so I encourage you to work with an agent. But nonetheless, if you're working with an agent, or even if you're working with a financial advisor or working with someone who has knowledge and who has a duty to work in your best interests, as does a real estate agent, then work with them and say, what's going on with your situation, with your personal situation? You know, let's talk about your income level. Let's talk about your tax bracket. Do you have kids? Are they in school? Are they, you know, are you an empty nester? Are your kids moved out? Do you want to, you know, move down to a smaller home? Do you have elderly parents? Are you just a single person and you want to move up? You know, what's going on with you? What's your employment outlook? Or do you want to change jobs? Are you going to be making more money? Are you going to be making less money? And so there's all these things mm-hmm. that come together. And what do you desire? And here we can start talking about things like millennials. You know, I was a kid of the 80s, and I grew up, I'll tell you, I grew up in Thousand Oaks, California, which is about an hour and a half north of here. Mm-hmm. It's very much in sort of tone and feeling as much of our South Bay, Torrance in particular. Lots of single-family homes. I went to the school over there that's the size of a lot of the Torrance High School. I went to Thousand Oaks High School. There's, you know, I grew up in a single-family home, and this is just what you did because that's what mm-hmm. there was.
Mm-hmm.
Now we understand with other kinds of development and building, we're returning back to the days of before World War II and what is happening in many other cities around the world, which is a little bit more density. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not necessarily living in a single-family home. You might be living in a 15-unit building or even an 8-unit building. As you know, I lived in San Francisco for years. They were all 6-unit buildings, but very, very dense, and it's walkable. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to use your car as much. You can walk to the corner grocery store, walk to the cafe, walk to a restaurant. There are some demographics that desire that. I now, as you know, I'm in my 40s. I desire that. You know, I think it's terrific, and it's a lot of fun. Not everyone desires that. Not everyone should live that way, but there is a need for that, and I think that will continue.
Okay.
But
well, I just want to break in. I want to bring Joanne into the conversation. Joanne, what's your take on how real estate is being viewed now in the South Bay, and what are some of the you know, sort of gestalt challenges? What are people most concerned about?
Well, it's interesting that David said, you know, talking about the 8 units and the larger units. And I live in North Redondo, and North Redondo is full of 2-unit lots. I mm-hmm. mean, it's unbelievable, the 2-unit lots. Mm-hmm. And that's what I live in, and I've been down there about 6 years now, and I love it. It's a very condensed situation. You know, it's very condensed anywhere, in North Redondo particularly. But at least it gives me – when I moved in, it was somewhat affordable to live in that area,
right.
A 2-unit lot rather than a single-family home. And I'm lucky enough that my 2-unit lot is detached. So if you drove by, you would think it's a single-family home.
Right.
David, I know he's part of the South Bay Association of Realtors, and I have a special place in my heart. I actually am, as of this month, I'm going to become an affiliate with them, being with State Farm. So
fantastic.
Have a great deal of respect for them. I got to go to the last two installation dinners. I probably know a lot of the same people that David does, and particularly two special ladies in my life that have both been Realtor of the Year, Sherry Farron and Michelle Brown.
Oh, yes.
Great women. And, I deal a lot with realtors being in an insurance business. I get to go see a lot of properties. I go to a lot of the brokers' opens during the week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really enjoying seeing a lot and meeting so many of the realtors in the South Bay. And it's funny, when I moved to the South Bay, I didn't know one realtor.
Yeah.
Today, I know 150 or 200. It's so funny. I had to ask for a referral back then when I was moving from the west side down to the south end.
Yeah. No longer.
No longer.
Now, David, I want to focus a little bit on the larger picture. You're quite accomplished, real estate lobbyist, web developer, professional writer, and also now Director of Government Affairs for the South Bay Association of Realtors. So tell me a little bit about the association, and then I want to know, what does the Director of Government Affairs do?
I'm trying to figure that out all the time myself. So thank you. Well, thank you for that. Just so you know, I'm not a realtor, and I don't have a real estate license, and so I don't practice real estate, which is illegal in California if you don't have a license. Interestingly, it's also, if you're a realtor, you need to practice real estate under a broker unless you are a broker yourself, and that's just unique to California. So I have an understanding of the law and the practice as it is in California, but not in other states, because each state is slightly different. For example, in the state of New York, you need to be a lawyer to be a real estate agent.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the South Bay Association, it's really a fun place to be. I've been here for 8.5 years. I started here in towards the end of 2006, ironically, just when we were hitting bottom at the bottom of the market. You know, what a great time to get into real estate.
Right.
So our association, we serve about 10 cities in the South Bay, starting at El Segundo all the way down to San Pedro, mm-hmm. and as far out east as Carson. Our area does not serve Palos Verdes and doesn't serve Inglewood, so those areas are served by other different associations of realtors. And so what that means is we're basically a jigsaw puzzle across our state. If you want to be a real estate agent, all you do is, you know, you can go to the state. I think you take a class, you get a licensee. I'm not really quite sure, because that's a different part of our program that manages that area. But then you can get a license and, okay, so I'm a licensed real estate agent in California. If you want to be a realtor and call yourself a realtor, then what you do is you need to join the association. That is started with the National Association of Realtors, and the word realtor is a registered trademark. They're quite aggressive at policing that trademark. And we also ask agents to join our state, each one, the California Association of Realtors, and then their local board, depending on where they are, you know, where they are living or working. So mm-hmm. realtors in our area, they join all three of those, including us, the South Bay Association of Realtors. Right now we have about 4,000 members. They're all licensed real estate agents. At the bottom of the market, when we really, really were bottoming out in maybe 2008 or so, our membership dropped down to about 3,200.
Mm-hmm.
And we've slowly been building back. You know, and so we do have ebb and flows. We do feel the market squeezing just like everybody else does. And so that was definitely a drop. It was a drop just because, you know, we're also running a business. It was a drop in revenue for our association, of course, because membership was down, you know, but it was also a reflection of the market. And so the market could not sustain more agents than were there at the time. And so everyone needs to adapt. We need to adapt. And we took certain financial measures and kind of fiscal controls, and we weathered that storm, and we came out in very good. So we are a very financially stable organization as a trade association. So as a trade association, we're responsible to our members for things like education, advocacy, which is what I do, and I'll get into that in a second. And, you know, so it's providing a place, lots of tools and resources that we can make available to agents. So, and I often tell agents, especially in orientations for new members coming aboard, I say, you guys, it's good to know that you're not alone out there. Mm-hmm. This is an entrepreneurial job. You know, it's a constant job. It has the typical strains that you would have if you were in an entrepreneurial setting, and we very much respect that. And so just be aware that you're not alone. You have all these resources and tools that you can take advantage of and ask for help. You know, just ask someone. Ask the person next to you. Ask your broker. Ask me or whoever, and we will try to point you to the right place to get you what you need so that you can do your thing, which is to help your buyers and sellers.
Right. Right.
One more interesting fun fact, I don't know how much you've been following the news lately in the last year or so about Manhattan Beach in particular, and the beach cities, especially Manhattan Beach. Mm. There's a lot going on there. It's a really interesting town. It's an economic outlier in many, many ways. The median home price, we reported the median home price last month as $630,000. Mm-hmm. That's all over the South Bay. Mm-hmm. That's a little on the high side. It's been kind of around $550 to $575 or so for quite a while as the median home price. In the city of Manhattan Beach, the median home price has been hovering just north or south of $2 million for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a fourfold increase over the remaining aggregate South Bay area. So that's kind of significant. It's an outlier. As far as our realtor members of our association, remember we have 4,000 members of our association all over the South Bay. Of those, 1,000 or one out of every four is registered with us as either living or working in Manhattan Beach alone.
Right.
And that's not a good or bad thing. It's just an observation. It is what it is. I don't know why. We can speculate. You know, maybe there's a cachet. Maybe people want to say I'm the Manhattan Beach realtor. Maybe it's easy and accessible. You know, I don't know. There's lots of reasons, but that's kind of what it is. So much so that we actually opened a satellite office in Manhattan Beach to serve our members more effectively over there.
One of the things that has come to pass, this is a sort of a generational issue, and I'd love for you to speak to it, that you know, in Manhattan Beach in particular, there are a lot of new homeowners from outside the area that are driving up prices because they're coming in from Brentwood, Beverly Hills, other places in the city, and finding the quality of life in the South Bay is to their liking. But there's another dynamic, and that dynamic is, you know, lots and lots and lots of older homeowners that have owned their home for 20 or 30 years. The home is more or less free and clear. If there isn't, you know, some second mortgage or other just for living expense money. But by and large, it's largely unencumbered properties. Lots and lots and lots of unencumbered properties that are, you know, no more than 5 to 10 years they're going to change hands. And we're talking about hundreds, if not thousands of properties that are going to change hands in the next 5 to 10 years because the residents are getting older and they're thinking about moving and they're thinking about, you know, transitioning to some other living space. Talk about that a little bit.
That's life, I guess, you know, sure. So there, you know, there will be homes that turn over. We reported we had a different issue in Los Angeles a number of years ago. And one of the facts that we found was that if you take your average neighborhood of homes, then on average, every one of those homes will turn over every 15 years. Turnover meaning there will be a new owner coming in.
Hmm.
That, of course, is a very wide swing. I mean, some neighborhoods turn over very, very quickly. Others are very stable, and people stay there for 20 years or more. And then you're right. You know, people get older. The parents get older. People, they may sell. People may pass away, and their kids may want to sell the home if they don't want to live there. You know, older parents may move down, you know, or God help us if they're stuck in a difficult distress situation and there's something like a divorce or an illness or a job loss, something that forces you to move.
Hmm.
All those things happen. So, and I think part of your question is the demand essentially driving prices up to a level that is not sustainable for, am I getting at that right?
I want to know if the facts are that there are thousands of homes that may come on the market in the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. And these homes are going to be the smaller, you know, beach cottage type homes, not the huge McMansions. what's going to happen when those homes come on the market? What is going to happen to the marketplace?
So the first part, just to kind of hedge my bet here, I don't have access to a lot of data that anticipates a future transaction. Mm. A lot of the data that we hold are for existing transactions, the ones in the past. And so I can look to the past and, you know, think about what the president, kind of speculate what I know about this area of what's going on in the future. So assuming that's true, and there will be thousands of homes coming in the market, I would think that they won't all come on the market, you know, tomorrow, right, or next Wednesday. Right. So if that did, that would be economically, all things equal, then if suddenly thousands of homes popped onto the market from one week to the next, then a lot of prices would plunge in the short term because, you know, suddenly you have far more supply than you do demand. What might happen, you know, the best that I can tell you as a non-economist is that these homes will kind of trickle onto the market, you know, at an increasing rate. Mm. You may call it a flood relative to what's going on now. I mean, now we're sitting around, we're saying, hey, guys, there's no inventory. There's nothing. There's all these people that want to buy a house. There's all these agents that want to help all these people buy a house, but there's no houses to sell. So let's, you know, try to balance that out a little bit. If the flip side is what you're saying, that suddenly a lot of houses come onto the market, then I think in the short term it will meet that demand. And then the demand may step up. Manhattan Beach, the beach cities in general, but Manhattan Beach in particular, are just very, very attractive to people with money. I mean, that's just it. It is. And so we as an industry have to respond to the law of supply and demand. You know, we're not market makers, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, a market maker in the sense that, you know, I can't come in and say, you will sell your home at this price and you will sell on this day. I mean, the Soviet Union tried that. It wasn't horribly successful, and we do not do that. So I know there are – well, and I'm being facetious, but I know there are critiques of our profession that – you know, well, those realtors come along and they, you know, jack up the prices on the home. Well, no, we don't. We don't have that ability.
Yeah.
We, just like everyone else, respond to what the market is telling us to do. And so the market in the last couple of years has been saying, you know, Manhattan Beach is really attractive. It's a gorgeous town. It's on the beach. It's so pretty. Some of the newer homes, the architecture is stunning. You know, it's a well-run city, and, mm-hmm. and there's just a lot of cool things there. The schools are fantastic. The parks are nice, you know. So, you know, I want to go and I want to take my kids there to the beach. I want to take my dogs for a walk. I want to, you know, enroll my kids in the local Rec and Park program, take them to this brand-new, beautiful library that opened next to City Hall.
Right.
A lot of good stuff for it. Well, guess what? As that demand increases, then there's more demand than there is supply, so not everyone is going to get a house there, which means that the people who do get a house there are the ones that can most afford it, frankly. And that's, you know, a function of the market and a function of right. those folks who want to sell. So go back to maybe your friends, their elderly parents or whoever.
Right.
They want to sell. They want to get a comfortable nest egg. They want to have enough income for the rest of their lives and be comfortable, maybe give something to their kids, and they're going to sell their home to the person that pays the most for it. And so the answer to your question, I think, is kind of a general yes. You know, there will be turnover. I don't think it'll be catastrophic.
Mm-hmm.
It will be noticeable, and it will happen because it always happens, just kind of the way our market functions.
Now, we're going to take a short break. We're going to take a station break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the South Bay Show, and we're talking with local real estate market expert David Kissinger, Director of Government Affairs for the South Bay Association of Realtors in Torrance, located in Torrance, and also with a satellite office in Manhattan Beach. And if you have comments or questions, we'd love to have you. Please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. We'd love to have your comment or question. And we'd also like to thank a sponsor. I'm going to get that queued up. And Joanne, did you have any questions or comments at this point?
Well, actually, to David, I absolutely do. You know, I noticed in North Redondo in particular that a lot of the single-family homes are being bought by developers, and they're putting mm-hmm. up these big two-on-a-lots. In some areas, three and a lot, but where I live, south of Grant, is zoned R2. So, but I noticed that's happening a lot. Just three in the last 6 to 8 months have been bought, and the two on the lots are being put up pretty quickly. So I guess that adds adds inventory to the area.
Yes, it does. So it would add inventory to the area. And so you can say that's a good thing in terms of meeting the market demand. Nothing comes without a cost though, right? And so, you know, it may, and you, maybe you're noticing this, it may also add things like more traffic. Maybe there's more cars parked in your street. You know, and so if the, I don't know that area well, but if, for example, if the quality of the buildings you're observing are not what you might want them to be, then maybe, you know, that's a concern in terms of the habitability or the safety. And so these are all kind of things that weigh in at the same time that you may be noticing. The primary of those, though, is really traffic and cars.
Okay. All right. Just a short break for our sponsor.
This segment of the South Bay Show is brought to you by Your Actualized Visions. A local advertising agency, Your Actualized Visions offers all your advertising needs under one roof. From logo design, business cards, banners, and signage, to online services such as website design, SEO management, promotional videos, reputation management, and loyalty promotions, you name it, and Your Actualized Visions will handle it for you on time and under budget. Built on the needs of their clients, Your Actualized Visions is competitively priced and economical, saving you money and greatly enhancing your bottom line. At Your Actualized Visions, customer service is all local with one point of contact. No more dealing with robo-answering machines, getting the runaround, or speaking to someone in another country. Your Actualized Visions understands your hyper-local advertising needs and focuses on bringing you real clients. They do not buy likes, followers, or fake results. Your campaigns are real, built with real community followers who want to purchase your services and products. The only thing standing in the way of your company's success is you now picking up the phone right now and calling Your Actualized Visions at 310-413-8773. To learn more about what Your Actualized Visions can do for you and your company, visit the website at youractualizedvisions.com. Your Actualized Visions, your dreams today, not someday.
So, David, I just wanted to make sure we covered specifically your role as a director of government affairs. What is the role of government affairs for the South Bay Association of Realtors?
So I basically am a lobbyist. I work on behalf of our realtors. I'm an employee of the association. The way I and each association, most associations of realtors also have someone like me that represents those realtors in those areas. So why do we do this? Reason why someone like me has to exist in a place like this is because the government or some government or some part of the state, federal, or local government will be involved in the realtor's business and the realtor's transaction.
Right.
This is everything from, you know, obviously things like paying personal taxes to paying business taxes, which is a huge issue for us. Also, you know, marketing your listing, where can you put your signs? How can you place your signs? You know, when you sell your listing, sometimes different cities require inspections at what we call the point of sale. They may, in the city of LA, they tried to require homeowners and actually even agents to certify that the sidewalks were fixed.
Mm-hmm.
The sidewalks are perpetually being broken by the trees, and so it would have had to been done inside a 30-day escrow period, and that would have been devastating for us. It was a huge, huge issue for us. At the federal level, one of the biggest concerns we have that we have had for my entire time here is related to the mortgage interest deduction.
Right.
So you own your home, and one of the reasons you buy a home, in addition to having a place for yourself, for your family, if you have a family, for that sort of thing, is the financial benefit, and that is the tax benefit by being able to deduct the interest off your mortgage. That is significant. So earlier, a number of years ago, when I was a homeowner in Long Beach as well, I noticed that, and it was fantastic. I mean, it really is a benefit. The mortgage interest deduction across the United States represents, I don't know what the number is, billions or trillions of dollars, some gigantic pile of money. It's extremely attractive. It's attractive to both Republicans and Democrats. You know, you have enough money on the table, and someone will say, I would sure love to get my hands on some of that. And that is a perpetual concern for us, regardless of whether Republicans or Democrats are in control of the Congress or the White House. you know, this money is at risk, and we make a very big deal out of it to ensure. We talk to the White House, we talk to all of Congress and say, you know, folks, leave this here. This represents our country's and our society's commitment to homeownership, and we recognize the value that homeownership brings. And this is us putting our money where our mouth is. You know, I mean, I firmly believe it. Now, I'm not a homeowner. I'm renting a house right now, but I still believe in the concept of the mortgage interest deduction. There are people who have complained and said, well, gosh, it's nothing but a subsidy. The answer is yes, it is a subsidy. And what are we doing? When you subsidize something, you are giving more value to it than you otherwise would have. And so by subsidizing home ownership, you're saying, yes, home ownership is valuable. Yes, we believe in it. Yes, we want to promote it. And so that is a huge, huge thing for us. And that's, we spend a lot of our time on that topic.
Now, is there any danger of the mortgage interest deduction going away?
You know, I mean, I don't know if there's a danger of it going away, as in disappearing. I don't think so. We are concerned, though, about maybe having chipping away at it. You know, maybe we can chip away 0.25% here or 0.25% there. Maybe there wants to be a reduction or elimination on the mortgage interest deduction for things like a second home. A second home isn't always, you know, the billionaires in Aspen, right? That's sort of our favorite line. A second home may just be a home that parents are able to buy for their kids, or even that a condo that, that, you know, an adult child can buy for their elderly parents, or, you know, something much more functional, more necessary like that. We're concerned about deductions for things like investment property. A lot of apartments here, especially the smaller 1-4 unit or 1-10 unit buildings, are owned not by these huge corporations in Wall Street, but by the mom and pop investors. They're just folks in our area, and they have an apartment building that is their retirement. The home where I live in Long Beach is actually, it's a 3 on a lot. So it's my single family home, and then a duplex next door to us. And that's owned by a gentleman in Temecula. It's his retirement. So, you know, and he deducts the mortgage interest as he should. It's his legal right to do so. And so we want to preserve that.
Yeah. Well, David, we're going to bring Bobby Christian in, very shortly, but before that, Joanne Gallen, I wanted to ask you, do you have some events coming up?
Oh, actually, I do. Thanks for asking, Joe. This Friday is the South Bay Business Women's Association annual conference. And it's a wonderful conference. It's all about inspiring women, and it's a wonderful day. We have some great speakers this year. Our keynote speakers are Terry Hack, the GM up at Terranea, and Malika Chopra, who happens to be Deepak Chopra's daughter. We still have a couple tickets left. I think we're close to 300. We're close to being sold out. And it's just a wonderful day. It's at the Torrance Marriott from 8 to 3. And if anybody's interested, they could just go to the SouthBayWomen'sConference.com and purchase tickets there, or give me a call, and I'd be happy to help them out.
What phone number would that be?
At 310-993-5656.
Okay.
Again, 310-993-5656.
Okay. Get in touch with Joanne Gallen, and she'll get you connected with the Women's Conference. It's a separate organization from the Chamber, right?
Oh, yeah. It has nothing to do with the Chamber.
Right.
But actually, it's a wonderful group where we raise money for scholarships for women, young women and high school graduates wanting to go to college. Last year, I think we gave away, I want to say, close to $18,000 in scholarships. So it's so wonderful. It's to these deserving young women that might not have the opportunity to go. So it helps them out somewhat. And it's the one thing I'm part of that's really about me giving back.
Right. Okay. Fantastic. And now, of course, Bobby Christian from the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau. How are you, Bobby?
I'm doing great. I love hearing what you guys are talking about.
Awesome. And, Bobby, I know you have a new family. Do you own or are you renting?
I do not own. I am renting. We're actually about to move. But yeah, we rent. Mm-hmm. So all this is still really important, though, because, I mean, we want to own a home as soon as possible.
Right. But lots and lots of articles have been circulated lately about the financial smarts about renting now, saving, investing, and getting all the other stuff in order, like reducing credit mm-hmm. card debt and, you know, all the other things that people don't do, getting that. Do you have 6 months of expenses in the bank?
Mm-hmm. I do. Like we were speaking last time that my dad's a financial advisor. So basically my entire life is over my head constantly.
That's great because a lot of people don't have that, and that's great.
Exactly.
You know, I just read an article, though, Joe, that and maybe David could say something about this. I just read an article maybe in the last week or so that rents are on the rise, and they're going up. I don't remember their percentages, but they were talking about how rents are absolutely right now on the rise.
Well, I'm going to have, Joanne, I'm going to have Bobby tell us about what's going on around town from the perspective of the Redondo Beach Chamber now. Bobby, what's going on?
Well, we've got some great events for businesses and also some great events for families and tourists to the area coming up. I'm going to start with the Chamber events. Coming up tomorrow is our active shooter preparedness training class. It's going to take place in the morning between 7 and 9 a.m. It's free entry, but you need to register. You can contact us. I'll say this again at the end, but you can always contact us at 310-376-6911 to get more information. But this is the type of awareness training that can be applied anywhere, including malls, theaters, public events, restaurants. It helps you and your employees get ready for the worst possible situation. Then next Thursday, we have a network cafe at the Chart House. It's going to be a midday network cafe from 11:30 to 1 p.m. You have to RSVP. No walk-ins are going to be let into this specific network cafe. So, like I said, give us a call at the Chamber. It's $25 for members, $30 if you're not a member but you're looking to join. And then finally, at the towards the end of the month, on the 20th, we have that breakfast with Congressman Ted Lieu. Ted Lieu is going to be in town answering questions about what's going on in Washington, where he sees this city and his work fitting into the overall scheme of the country. You can make reservations for that with us by giving us a call or emailing us. It's $25 a person, and it's going to be 7:30 a.m. to 9 a.m. Then on the tourist side of things, this month, of course, is going to be the King Harbor Sea Fair on the 22nd. We're really excited about that. The Beach Cities Wine and Beer Fest is taking place on the 14th, but it's already sold out. So if you haven't been paying attention to what we're doing on visitredondo.com, you might have missed your chance. But we got lots more events coming up this summer. And this Friday also kicks off Ruby's Classic Car Show. It takes place every Friday from 4 to 8 from now until October. So come on down, check out some of the great cars. That's what's going on in the city. If you have any questions, you can always email us at info@redondochamber.org or give us a call at 310-376-6911. And I want to say one more thing in case you guys haven't heard. Redondo Beach just yesterday was finally certified as a Blue Zone city. The entire city is part of the Blue Zones project. So we're really excited. It basically means we're on the forefront of building and maintaining a healthy community for people visiting and for people who live here.
Right, right. Fantastic, fantastic. And, you know, the Redondo Beach Chamber does so much for its members. And, of course, Bobby, I have to ask you about RedondoBeachWeddings.org. What's going on with RedondoBeachWeddings.org?
Well, it's Wedding Wednesday, so we're going to be posting some great photos on our social media channel from some of our members. We've got photos going up today from the Historic Library, beautiful shots from the Historic Library. And we've just put up an article on our site, so if you check out RedondoBeachWeddings.org, you'll see 25 photographic reasons to choose Redondo Beach for your wedding destination. And even if you're not looking for a specific wedding destination right now, it's a lot of beautiful pictures of the city that you can only find on our site.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, one thing, just a random thing, Bobby, have you ever visited the Baldwin Hills Scenic Overlook? Do you know what I'm speaking about?
You know what? I think I know what you're talking about. I think I've been there, but I'm not 100% sure. Why do you bring it up?
I just bring it up because my wife and I visited recently, and it was breathtaking, breathtaking. It's a 500-foot promontory, Baldwin Hills scenic overlook. It's on Jefferson Boulevard. I just highly recommend that people visit, find it. You can find it. Just look for Baldwin hills, scenic overlook. It's an amazing place. When you get up there, it's just like a sense of vertigo. It's so high relative to the surrounding land, and then you get to see, you know, the downtown, the ocean, the all the mountains around. It's amazing.
Well, great. I'll stop by and check it out.
It's like going to Disneyland for nature preserve lovers. It's incredible.
It's the happiest place on earth if you love nature.
Thank you. Right. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Bobby Christian from the Redondo Beach Chamber and Visitors Bureau. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
And Joanne, you had a question for David.
Oh, yeah. I was wondering, I just recently read about the rents going up sky high in the very near future. I can't remember where I read it, but it was just in the last week or so.
Yeah, it may well be. I'm not as familiar with that. I have heard sort of anecdotal talk about that. I don't know if they'll go up sky high. You know, I, of course, would be sensitive to it since I'm a renter. But I would comment, though, that when this does happen, as rents do go up, it actually does apply pressure on the folks who are renting to start asking some serious questions. You know, do I rent or should I jump in and buy something?
Right.
And also, I mean, you know, representing realtors, I'm going to say, sure, think about buying something, but also honestly, because what you always want to do is think about what is your situation. So maybe it did also high rents apply pressure people to say, well, maybe I should live somewhere else. And that is a real concern. You know, of course, it's a concern if housing prices are very, very high. The San Francisco Bay Area is seeing this hugely. I did see a survey, I think, 2 days ago where, and I'm going to get the number wrong, but basically like 40 or so percent of Bay Area residents were thinking of leaving.
Yeah. Yeah,
because the rent is so high, traffic is so bad. I lived in the Bay Area for 8 years, and so before things really, really popped, I lived there in the 90s, and already then it was tough, so I can only imagine now. That is a real concern, and for any large metropolitan area like the Bay Area or here in our world, Greater Los Angeles in the South Bay, we want to keep it as a job center. We want to keep the diversity of the demographics. I mean, there's so much strength in our diversity, in our demographic diversity, our economic diversity. There's so much to do here. We want to preserve that. That's where we get so much of our value, and that's actually what helped us weather that huge downturn in the mid-2000s, right? And so we don't want to see a lot of people stampeding for the exits and taking their brains with them and going to somewhere like Vegas or Phoenix or, you know, to Dallas or somewhere other than here. We want to keep their economic investment here.
Now, if you're just talking about, you know, cold, hard dollars and cents, you know, David, Dallas, let's pick Dallas for Fort Worth, because I know that market very well. My wife's sister and their family live in Fort Worth. And you can buy a fantastic home, not on a quarter acre, more like a half acre, for like $300,000. I mean, really nice.
Yeah.
And your comments, sir?
Well, you know, if that is the kind of housing that you're attracted to, then it's really hard to say no to. You say, you know, maybe I should. And so if we're just talking hard dollars and cents and nothing else matters, then, you know, go. I mean, come on, go and get that big, gorgeous house. And if you have kids and you want to have kids running loose and having a great time in a fun backyard and have your dog run, then yes, do that. There are other things that you're going to consider, though, obviously, things like your employment. You know, are you close to family members? Are you close to friends? Do you have people here? And will you be able to maintain ties with those people when you move two time zones away? So there are other considerations. They're not always monetary that tend to sneak in. And they will just naturally put weight down on your thinking. You know, do you have elderly parents and you want to be near them just for health care and just to check in on them? I mean, those are all real honest concerns that everybody ask, you know, but you know, all things equal, yeah, I think it'd be really attractive to do something like that if you could.
Joanne, have you ever had those thoughts in the wee hours of the night? Wow.
You know what? Moving, but you know what? When it comes down to it, South Bay is where I want to be.
Yeah.
You know what? Do I have a small house compared to people in Dallas that are on a half an acre? Absolutely. But would I want to live anywhere else? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Do I have time for a quick question for David?
Sure.
Something near and dear to my heart, the Redondo Beach waterfront.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts on that, the development that's been in the works for years? I know I have my personal thoughts on it.
Oh, sure. So in general, our association is in support of that. And what I mean by that is that we actually came out in support a couple of years ago. What we're in support of is the concept of having something done on the waterfront. We are not weighing in on, you know, like which building should go where, what restaurants should go there, you know, is there not going to be some big, huge mall? I've seen some of the presentations. I've seen how some of this works before. I know a lot of people that are working on the development side. I personally don't think it's going to be a mall, a big giant mall that's going to like the Beverly Center. I just don't believe that. And
no,
you know,
other
people may believe different. That's fine. I respect that. I am hugely concerned when things devolve into political sort of screaming and fighting. That's just unfortunate, and we lose a lot of opportunities, and that's what we can unfortunately look forward to in our presidential race this November for the exact same reason. But back to the waterfront, yes, something should be done, and here's sort of the benchmark. What you do is go to the waterfront right now and stand there and look around you and say, hey, do I like what I see? Is this great? Would I want to take my kids here? For me, the answer to all those questions is no. There's no way I take my kids over there. You know, I'm not going to walk my kids through that parking structure when the pieces of concrete can fall on their heads, you know.
You're making me so happy now. This is great.
I'm sorry?
I agree with you. You're making me very happy because I agree with you
110%. I also respect the concerns of the community, and a lot of the concerns are related around traffic, and that is a realistic concern. I mean, for many, many great reasons and a great deal of political failure going back to the 1950s, there is extremely poor transportation in all of Los Angeles County, and certainly in the South Bay, but all over. So if you want to get anywhere, you will drive in your car. When I was a kid growing up in Thousand Oaks, I drove in my car, and that's a problem, and I appreciate it's a problem. It you cannot mitigate it down to zero. You just can't, but you can mitigate it somehow, and that needs to be done. It also kind of needs to be made a fit. It needs to be sufficient.
Well, you touched on before about people being able to walk. And, you know, just think about all the housing, all the people that live there. On the weekends, they don't have to get in their car. They could just walk down to the beautiful waterfront. So that would help maybe mitigate the traffic issues a little bit. And today, you know, this day and age, a lot of people work from home. So maybe a lot of the generation, this generation, they do work from home. So hopefully that would help. You know, that's not, you know, that's going to help somewhat of the traffic situation as well.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then we have the weekend problem. So there's 4 million people now in LA City and LA County that we're pushing. We're over 15 million. Is that what the number is now? You know, there's a lot of people that live inland. They want to go to the beach. What beach are they going to go to? What if every beach community said no one can come here but me because I don't want all the traffic. And I appreciate the traffic is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
The beach and the waterfronts are a public good, and they're a public space that the public can use, and the public should be allowed to go there. Not that anyone's trying to ban the public, but you know, the realistic and legitimate concerns about traffic are also kind of countervailing with the notion that people just want to go to the coast and they want to see the ocean, they want to splash in the water and build sandcastles, and they, you know, hang out in the bars and restaurants and look at the water. The demand will be there, just like housing in Manhattan Beach. You know, people coming to a place like the Redondo Beach waterfront. We're seeing the San Pedro at Long Beach's coastal area is booming, and the people will come. So it's incumbent upon the city of Redondo Beach to account for that and accommodate that. That's sort of the price that you pay for being on the coast.
Well, it's been a fascinating hour. It's going by way too fast, but... I want to thank Joanne Gallen for being my co-host today. Thank you, Joanne.
Oh, you're so welcome.
And, of course, co-founder of Mixagogo. Mixagogo, Mixagogo, mixagogo.com. And, of course, you're doing business development for Zippy Shell. And how do people get in touch with you, Joanne, if they want to find out more about what you're doing?
And, of course, State Farm, as we said. That's my,
of course.
That's my, it's 310-993-5656.
Okay. And, David, how do people get in touch with South Bay Association of Realtors?
The best and fastest way is to run to our website. It's southbayaor.com.
Okay. South Bay Association of Realtors, southbayaor.com. www.thebeachmoretosee.com. Well, thank you so
That's
much,
right.
David, for being with us today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And Joanne, we love having you as a guest host. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Joe. I enjoyed it. Nice meeting you, David.
Nice meeting you. Thank you.
All right. That's our show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye now.